It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and today we're winding up our verse-by-verse study on the book of 1 Peter. It's been an incredible study. Some of the truly great verses in the New Testament are found in this book of 1 Peter. We've covered some great verses, and now today we wind up chapter 5. And in chapter 5, Peter addresses elders. And we learn that he's speaking here not just to old people, but mature leaders in a church congregation, including the pastors who are to live as an example to their flock. Then Peter switches over to addressing young men, and he gives several commands to the young men who should read the letter. In the 5th verse, he told young men to be submissive to the older men. Now, both Peter and the Apostle Paul spoke a great deal about submission. While our dictionary defines submission as the act of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person, the biblical concept of submission comes from the Greek word that Peter used here, which is called hupotasso, and it means to come under an orderly arrangement. You know, our society often cringes at the use of this word, submit. We want our independence, and the very thought of yielding to a superior force can go against our human nature. Peter begins, though, by telling the young men, submit to those who are older. And then he switches over to tell us, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. All throughout his book, Peter quotes from the Old Testament. And here he's quoting from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. Now, the next piece of advice that Peter gives to the young men is found in verse 6, where he said this, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Friend, God has perfect timing. 90% of the time when we miss it with God, it's in this area of timing. As humans, we get impatient, and we can't wait on God. But Simon Peter is telling us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and in due time, he's going to lift you up. And then he says in verse 8, where we left off yesterday, to be self-controlled and alert. Now, the King James Version uses the words sober and vigilant. He's telling the young men here, and all of us as well, that if we're going to be effective for God's kingdom, we need to be sober. The message puts it like this. Keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. Now, when we talk about sobriety here in the kingdom, I don't believe he's just talking about alcohol. I think he's talking about mental clarity. Now, I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life, so I can't tell you what it's like to be drunk. But I can tell you this, Satan likes to make Christians drunk with the cares of this world, with fear and anxiety. And God's telling us here, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. Now, Peter goes on to tell them, your enemy, the devil, he prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone he may devour. Look at the picture Peter gives us of our enemy Satan here. He's like a lion on the prowl. And what's his goal? To devour you. It's pretty hard to miss a lion if he's roaring, but it's possible if you're not sober. Now, in verse 9, Peter tells us what we are to do. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Now, that's interesting because The Greek word that Peter used here for resist, it comes from two Greek words, anti, which means against, and stete, which means to stand. So Peter is saying here, you have to resist the devil, and then you have to stand against him. See, the more Satan attacks you, the more you have to dig in your heels and refuse to fall for his bag of tricks. This is where spiritual warfare comes in. We spoke about this a few weeks ago on Fresh Oil. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 6, we need to put on the full armor of God. You take that breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You have your belt of truth buckled around you and your shoes of the gospel of peace. You draw the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you begin to speak the word of God. See, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you use the armor of God, standing firm in the faith, Peter goes on to tell us, you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. See, we're never alone in suffering. Peter reminds us people all over the world are suffering similar struggles as to what we're going through. And then in verse 10, Peter tells us, and the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I love this title of the Savior that Peter uses here. He calls him the God of all grace. See, God is the one who gives you the ability to do what you can't do in yourself. That's our God, who's the God of grace. And Peter says, he's called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means he's called us out of this time-driven world into eternity with him. Friend, it's so strange. We often think of eternity as the sweet by and by. When we get to heaven, we'll be living in eternity. But that's really not the case. We start eternity. The moment we're born again, God puts within us eternity. The Bible says he set eternity in the hearts of man. I have eternal life now. Now, my spirit and soul now have eternal life in Christ, and one day this body will be changed and I'll have a new body. And then Peter says, after you've suffered for a while, he's going to restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now Peter's going to give his final greeting in this first letter, and we'll start the second letter of Peter next week. He says in verse 13, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Now, we know in the book of Ephesians, Paul told us that we're saved by grace through faith. So we know grace is involved with our salvation. It's God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. And yet, we don't realize many times that we need grace for our everyday life. It's not just for salvation. Grace is needed to get through this life. When Paul was dealing with that thorn in the flesh, what did God tell him? He prayed three times, Lord, take this away from me. And God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Most of us don't even like to think about weakness. It's not something you want to be proud of. But God says, when you're weak, I'm strong in you. Peter's writing this letter to people who are under persecution, people who've lost their homes, and they've lost, some of them have lost family members who've been persecuted for the gospel's sake. And he's telling them here, God is there in the middle of your suffering. And after you've suffered a little while, he's going to come and restore you by his power. Now Peter's going to close out with verses 13 and 14, and then I just want to highlight a few of the great verses we've covered over these last couple of weeks. Peter says here, she who is in Babylon. Now, who is he referring to in verse 13? She who was in Babylon. I believe he's referring to the church here. Now, Babylon itself was a city that's the capital of ancient Iraq. And but sometimes the Bible uses Babylon to speak about, like in the book of Revelation, about an end time city that was just wicked. Babylon's destroyed today, but he refers to Jerusalem at times as Babylon. He refers to Rome sometimes as Babylon. It could be that Peter was writing from Babylon in Iraq, or he could have been writing from Rome, he could have been writing from Jerusalem, but he's basically writing about this world system. And she who was in Babylon was referring to the church. So he's basically saying the church sends you her greetings. And so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. So Peter closes this book out by wishing them again two things. Love, greet one another with the kiss of love, and peace to all who are in Christ. I often like to remind you that peace is not the absence of conflict. It would be a wonderful world if we had no conflict, but that's not the peace that he's talking about. Peace is the confidence and assurance that you have in Christ in the middle of the storm. Regardless of what you're going through, you have that shalom, that divine peace that passes all understanding, knowing that your trust and your confidence is in God. Friend, I hope you've enjoyed this verse-by-verse study on the book of 1 Peter. One of the desires of my heart by using this radio program and this podcast is to show you that you can understand the Bible. It's written for us to understand. And when you take it verse by verse, as we've been doing here on Fresh Oil, you get the full context of the Scripture. I've had so many people say at times, boy, I don't understand the Bible, Keith. It's like it's written in a different language. But friend, as you take it verse by verse, even studying with me on a daily basis, you're going to see you can understand the Word of God. It is God's love letter to you, telling you He wants a relationship with you, that He loved the world so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross so that you could have everlasting, eternal life. For more than 3 years, Simon Peter, he lived in close proximity to Jesus. He saw the miracles firsthand, and he had God restore him after he had denied Christ. He had Jesus come to him and recall him back into the ministry. He also discovered that God uses flawed people, and God is the God of the second chance, as God chose Simon Peter to deliver that message on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 people were baptized and added to the number of believers in the church that day. I want to close out this teaching on this incredible book by going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, and I felt this was one of the most important parts of this book of 1 Peter. Peter said this, "But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." Thank you so much, friend, for joining me on this verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Peter. We've learned so much as we read through some of these great verses from Peter. And next week, we're going to pick up with the book of 2 Peter. And so I hope you join me for it right here on Fresh Oil. Walk in grace. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.